Oh, wonderful to be together. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 5, verse 17. In past teachings, we've been looking at what God has done when we've made the decision to believe God's Word. And it says here in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature," it says in the King James. Some of the other translations probably has creation, okay? That he is a new creation, which is accurate according to the Greek text and the Aramaic. So, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. You know, he's not remodeled. He's not got something that's added on, but he becomes a whole new creation, which is quite a perspective, isn't it? And this is in light of getting born again of God's Spirit. When you believe God's Word and learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, and then, as it says in Romans 10:9, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So, understanding, believing Jesus is Lord, and believing that God raised him from the dead, you become a new creation in Christ. And what a great opportunity and privilege to be a new creation in Christ. Our loving Heavenly Father has gone out of his way to communicate so you can associate yourself to the value of that new creation. What is it that you have? What has been done whereby you can associate yourself with this new creation and understand it? Let's go to Romans chapter 6, if you would. Romans chapter 6. You know, our salvation did not come cheap, did it? It took the Lord Jesus Christ to pay that ultimate price for us. And actually, hold your finger in Romans. I'd like for you to go back to Corinthians, not the second one, but the first one, 1 Corinthians. And I want to show you something before we look at Romans chapter 6, please. So, Romans chapter 6. Or Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. I want to put this together a little bit for you before we look at this section in Romans. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" So when you get born again of God's Spirit, you have Holy Spirit in you, and you are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. That's what the Word says, right? You are not your own. Why? Because verse 20 says, "For you are bought with a price." So who bought us? God bought us with the price of the Lord Jesus Christ, who laid his life down for us, allowed himself to be killed, murdered, and then God raised him from the dead, right? And we have the victory in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's that wonderful, dynamic, loving price that God paid with his Son. He so loved us that he gave us his only begotten Son. And so we become not our own. We belong to God. We are a new creation in Christ. So what a great reality that we can learn about who we are in Christ. What does that mean? So go to Romans chapter 6 now. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we then say, or what we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Here we're learning about an association that we can understand what Christ did for us, the price that was paid. We can identify with that. And we're learning and seeing God is communicating to us that we died with Christ, we were buried with Christ, and we were raised with Christ. So because of that, we can walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Again, God is communicating to us an association with who? Jesus Christ. So we can identify with him and understand the fullness of that identification that we have with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves, I guess somebody was a southerner here that translated this. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be what? Dead indeed unto sins, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Lord. So we fully associate with Christ in that what he did, we did also. This is a great thing for us to identify with so that we can live fully to the extent that God has gave us a salvation that's full and complete. who we are in Christ, that we can associate with it. So many times we're living our lives, and what do we associate with for the most part? The world. We are governed many times by what's going on in the world. We see things going on in the news. We are governed to a point of our job because we got to be there. if we want to get paid, we got to be there. We got to work. So all these things we're involved with, but the most important thing we want to learn about is who we are in Christ and how that works. It was a price that was paid very dearly, right? And when you understand that price, you can appreciate it. When I was a kid, I would get these great toys. I remember I got this fire engine, nice fire engine. The ladder went up and the thing, you'd go up and I'd bring my little army guy up and he would climb up the ladder. But you know what? After about a week, I got tired of that. And I get other toys. My Red Ryder outfit with my guns. You never heard of Red Ryder? That goes way back. So, but you know what? After a while, no big deal. Why? Well, I didn't pay for it, did I? The one toy that I played with the most was my Prince Valiant shield and sword and my hat. Now, I don't know if you ever heard, have you heard me talk about my Prince Valiant? See, I remember that. And you know why that is? I paid for it. I did. I saved my money up. And after I got enough money, I went to the store. My dad helped me. And we paid for it. And I bought it. And it was mine. And why did I cherish that? Because of the price that was paid, right? And now, what about the price that was paid for us to have Christ within? I think Christians really miss in understanding what that price was. You know, God could have easily said, okay, Christ died for you. He was raised from the dead. I raised him from the dead. So you're saved. You have salvation. That's a gift, right? It's a gift. It's by grace. There it is. So then we could just say, okay, that's fine. But to understand what the price that was paid for that and what Jesus Christ went through, man, then we can appreciate that gift a little bit better, right? And God is so wonderful because He has written here an association by which we can identify with the Lord Jesus Christ all the way through from His death, you know, His burial, the resurrection, being at the right hand of the Father. All of that has happened. And God in His Word communicates that so that we can fully identify with the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did, and then by that we can appreciate who we are in Christ. So we saw a little bit here in Romans. Let's look at a little bit more, okay? Let's look at a little bit more. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. You know, we can learn the complete value of what it took for us to be born again of God's Spirit. And as we understand that price that was paid for us, that God bought us, then we can utilize who we are in Christ even greater. So you're already there, aren't you? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, "For in Him, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." So God's Word says we're complete in Christ, right? We are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands in the putting off of the body of the sin of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So we can associate with that. Thankfully, it's just an association. All right? That you know, we go with that. I mean, I'm amazed how God has so communicated this so that we can identify what Jesus Christ did, so that we can walk in the fullness of who we are, complete in Christ. Well, verse 12 says, "Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened," which means made alive together with Him, "having forgiven you all your trespasses." Great reality, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? So now that we understand this price that was paid, then we can walk for our Heavenly Father. And you know what? Let's go back to verse 8. You know, we see we're complete in Christ and how great that is. But you know, there's something that we need to be aware of, that whereby God would say this. Look at verse 8. It says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after" who? Christ. Okay? So if we spend time with man's ways, his philosophies, not as good as Christ, is it? That's why he goes on to communicate what we just read. For in him, Christ, we are complete in him. We are complete in him. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. For us to see this and how well we identify with Christ, what a privilege that God would make this available, and he would be so loving to share this and help us see that we were associated all the way through our redemption. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. The word quicken, again, it means made alive. Made alive together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. Now, are you there now? I mean, physically we're here, right? But spiritually, we're there. I mean, see, that's the picture God wants us to have in our mind so that we can see the spiritual realities that we've been raised with Christ and we're seated in the heavenlies. So where do you live? In the heavenlies, right? And you know what? I was looking at my ID card the other day, and it's wrong. Look at your ID cards and see if it's right. It's wrong. All this plastic stuff. Ah. 3636 Wilcox Street, San Diego. That's wrong, isn't it? Who do I really identify with? Christ. So where's my address? In the heavenlies. I'm seated in the heavenlies. See, that's where God sees us. Now, if you want to see yourself, oh, I'm living here in San Diego, I have all these problems, that's no fun compared to see, you know, visualize. See that you're seated with Christ on the right hand of God. It's a mental thing, isn't it? You know, it's a great, great reality, too, that we can identify with Jesus Christ all the way through that process, that price. Pretty neat. Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And here it is again. You know, there's many verses we could look at. I am crucified with Christ. Right? Again, our association so that we can see this is a real thing for us. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth where? In me. I don't live, but Christ in me. So who do you want living your life? The Christ in me would be the best. Okay. Let's see what else it says. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the life I live is by the faith of the Son of God. A little better translation here, I live by the believing concerning the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, that's where we want to hang our believing, right? On our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We use his name by the name of Jesus Christ, we're healed, right? We minister healing. And what name, what authority do we have to bring on the power of physical wholeness? Jesus Christ. By his stripes we are healed. See, we associate the stripes, what he went through physically unbelievable what he went through physically in his death. And yet, because he did that, we can use the name of Jesus Christ for physical healing. Because we understand what he did to go through that, the price he paid. We understand the price. When you understand the price paid, then you can appreciate what was bought, right? And we be bought. And we now are seen and identify with Christ, this wonderful price that was paid. And now, so the life we live now, we want to live by the Christ that's in us. We have a whole new lifestyle to live. Instead of living by what the TV says, or what some philosopher says, or living by the almighty dollar, we can live with the Christ in us. You know what? Go to Romans, if you would. Go to Romans. Chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to do kind of an experiment. It's not a full experiment here because I don't have what I really would like to have. And the biggest bill I got is a 20. Now, let's say these are $100. This is a $100 bill. And let's say also pretend that I've got a bunch of $100 bills here. All right? So if I threw this up, yeah, you'd jump on it, right? We would just go, Now, what is that? It's just a piece of paper. It's dirty, right? It's not that pretty. It's dirty. And yet, what does it have on it? It has a number 100 on it. So, but what does it represent? What do we associate that with? The value. A government says that's worth $100. You can buy anything that has a price tag of $100 on it or less and even get change back. Right? Now, if I had, people would just flock right on that money if I had a bundle throwing it up because people understand the value of it. Now, what happened if I have a bunch of New Testament little Bibles and I threw it up? What would people do? Oh. Now, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. You would jump on those, right? I know this crowd right here. You would jump on those and fight and get that New Testament Bible, right? Because of what we associate with, right? We love God's Word. Because God's Word's teaching us the price that was paid for our salvation. And we can associate and understand and identify all steps of that price that was paid. Man, oh man. Romans 8. This is phenomenal. Romans 8, chapter 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? There you got it. So if we want to just go with our carnal five senses lifestyle and go with that, what can we expect? Death. Hey, but if we go with the Word, the things of the Spirit. Now, spiritually minded means to be minded of God's Word, to believe God's Word, to trust in the Word, like we heard from Todd. Trust the Word. And we trust in that Word, and it's life and peace. Wow. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can build all the churches you want. They're not going to please God unless you use that to move God's Word, to bless God's people. I'll give you that one. But it's not the physical that counts. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, how do you know the Spirit dwells in you? You can operate manifestations. Speaking in tongues is one of the manifestations. So you know you've got the Spirit in you. Isn't that neat that God would have something so definite, so miraculous, to speak a language that exists somewhere on the earth or in heaven, and we don't know it, but we can speak it. Unbelievable. Yet, this is what God has designed, and we know we have the Spirit in us. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. So what should we be debtors of? The Spirit. We all got debt in the flesh, don't we? You know, we live in the flesh. We have our natural life to live. But what is our focus? What do we want to really focus in our life? The spiritual things, who we are in Christ. Man, oh man. 2 Corinthians, a couple more verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, what do we want to do? Pull it down. Pull it down. If things are in our life that come before God and His Word, pull it down. Get rid of it. And bringing into captivity some of our thoughts, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Wow, to the obedience of Christ. We grab our minds. We grab our minds and put God's Word in our minds. Go to Galatians 5:13. You know, the devil, the enemy, the evil one, you know, he's going to say, you don't deserve that. What did you do to get such a great spirit? What did you do to have eternal life? To have fellowship with God? What did you do? What can we say? We believed. We died with Christ, right? We were buried with Christ. We were raised with Christ. We're seated on the right hand of God with Christ. We associate that whole price. That's what we can tell them. Right on. We're debtors not to the flesh, but to the Spirit. 5:13 in Galatians. 5:13 in Galatians. What do we do? How do we function? All right, we know now the price that's paid. We're identifying with Christ as best we can. We knock down the things that get in our way spiritually. So what can we do in this 5:13? For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. We've been freed from this world. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. That's what we do. With the love of God, we serve one another. That's our action. That's what we do. Philippians 2. We're going to close here. I trust, do you understand what I'm communicating here? as far as associating and identifying with Christ. And aren't you thankful that God put that in there so that we can appreciate the price that was paid? And in that appreciation, we can serve God. All He's done for us, we can serve one another. You know, God's dream of dreams is that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, right? And we can participate in that dream where all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth by holding forth God's word. And in Philippians 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. And the word work out is demonstrate. Demonstrate. Show forth your own salvation with fear and trembling, or with awe and great respect. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Man, that's what we want. We want the pleasure of God in our life, and we want to do what God would have us to do. Why? That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Wow. How do we shine as lights in the world? Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know, when Christ comes back, you know what kicks off the party? What we have done to hold forth God's word, right? Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. You know, that's what we need to do more and more. I think we're on the verge here of seeing some great outreach and touching people's hearts with the integrity and accuracy of God's word. And boy, that's going to happen as we hold forth God's word. God says to hold it forth. What should we do? Hold it forth. Witness. Share our life. Share our testimony. You know, Todd was, I don't think he shared this, he was employee of the month the other month, along with, you know, record-breaking sales. You know, what a witness that is. You know, somebody's going to ask him, well, how do you do this, man? He's going to say, it's a Christ in me. Let me share some word of God with you. So let's hold forth God's word. That's going to be the most exciting thing we can do. The words of life. Somebody did for us, didn't they? Thankful they did. Well, Heavenly Father, we're very, very thankful that You so love us and You care so much for us that You've communicated this new birth realities to us in such a wonderful way so that we can understand the price that was paid by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in understanding that, Father, we're grateful that we can stand for You and that we can hold forth the words of life, and we can, by love, serve one another. So I'm thankful for each and every person here, Father, for their hearts to live for You and be their best for You, Father. So I thank You for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. So enjoy.